determine the reflective views or opinions of the staff and management of the iSuper Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Objective Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this
into this.
a lot of people would just nail it. So, you know what? It's a great idea, but let's just forget about it because you know, we don't have things to do. But I want to mention something. Many of you know out there that I do a radio show with Dr. Scott Connolly, who founded Metrics. And Dr. Connolly and my friend are told their story individually, the same story. But the way most protein bar manufacturers get into the business is they lie on the label. They get the bar out there, they lie about the product on the label. It's got much more sugar than they say. It's got more hydrolyzed protein in it, you know, the stuff that's made from hogs and sinew. And they get it out there and they blast it for a year because they really can't afford to make it at the price that they need to make it. But they really have everything on the label. And they do that as long as they can until they get caught. And once they get caught and they say they're out there, but they're then they've already got a hole in the market. And it's almost like, Joe Kennedy made all this money bootlegging, but then he lost the president and he made a lot of money and then he got straight before they got straight. And so it's always that same story. People go out there and they take dirty money and turn it into clean money. The reason I'm saying this, of course, is when you realize that these guys get a quest to make this bar, you realize that they didn't take that route. They could have, but they didn't. Now, when we were talking a little bit ago, Ron, about the checkered past about protein bars, what do you recall?
Well, I mean, one of the things you just brought up is really true. The cost of making the protein bar that people actually afford. But every company out there, except a very, very large one, does contract manufacturing, meaning they have a third party that actually makes their bar for them. Usually they can formulate the bar or everything. We explored that, but it's pretty expensive to do that. It's a lot more expensive than investing in your own equipment, but that's what we ultimately ended up doing. We have our own manufacturing facility, and it's really the only way you can make sure, especially for our kind of a product where the label is so important, both the nutritional facts and the ingredients. So we actually test all the manufacturers that bring our stuff. We put it all together ourselves to make sure that every part is exactly what's on the label. Otherwise, the other manufacturers never quite know what's in there.
But the contract manufacturing relationship, do they dictate or do you dictate what's in the bar? Do they know, you can't do that?
Well, that's what happened to us. It's not so much that they dictate, but they're so used to working with it. The answer to maintaining shelf life is really you add more carbs, more sugar, some sort of syrup, whether it's a brown rice syrup, evaporated cane juice, whatever you want to call it, and some people just outright put sugar. That's really what they're doing, and that was really the process we went through. We worked with so many different consultants, and everyone in the contract manufacturing business said, well, what you're trying to do is simple, just add more carbs. And that was the whole thing behind what we couldn't do, which is why it took us so long to actually figure out a process that's exactly what it was.
And, you know, again, Dr. Connolly, I've spent a lot of time on the phone with him, and we talked about a lot of different things, but when he's explained to me, like, when the journey into Metrics and how hard it was to get a stable bar, I mean, people don't realize it because they think that there's some sort of formula, but there's no formula. I mean, they don't have to mind you just reproducing a bar the way everybody else is doing it. We can just copy what they're doing. But if you want to really break out and produce something different that has both quality and appeal, you're really kind of burning a new road completely, right?
Yeah, to get an idea, we went through seven different consultants who had a lot of experience in the bar business. And they all said what they try to do is essentially create a protein bar that doesn't have any simple carbs or anything like that that's kind of holds it together. They said it's an interesting process. And so they tried and we paid quite a few dollars to see. All six of the first ones pretty much gave up and said, look, what you're trying to do can't be done. The reason why no one's done it thus far. Our seventh one actually was a consultant that worked with Metrics on making their bars more pliable. And she, pretty much after about 9 months working very closely with her, we finally were able to come up with a formula that worked, it was shelf-stable, that could last for a long time on the shelf. And that's really the process that it took. But the other six people had a collective probably 40-some years collective experience in the industry, and then they were able to put it together.
Did they tell you you're wasting your time? Did they say it indirectly or directly that you're really wasting your time?
Only at the end of it, because, I mean, these are pretty sincere people. They really tried. A lot of them, you know, three or four of them said right at the beginning, I don't think what we're going to try to do works, and I want to let you know that. But we still went down the path, and, you know, they didn't want to take our money for nothing. But at the end, they all just said, look, there's a reason why somebody hasn't done this before. And that's... Because the other time, if we had known how hard it would be, how hard it was going to be at the beginning, we probably wouldn't have gone down the path. But we just got that close.
us have to thank you and your team for going down the path, because now we really do have a protein bar that we can feel calculus about eating, but actually has everything that we really want to eat. So if it's a high quality protein, it's a high fiber, it has no sugar at all, I mean, it's really not a better wholesome has been abused over the decades, but it truly is a wholesome protein bar. I'm going to talk more about it with my family. So now, if you haven't tried it, this protein bar, then don't blame me. Because if you go to superhumanradio.com and click the first protein bar banner, they will send you two for free. They even cover the shipping. Maybe that will count. Except your gift. You're getting a protein bar for free. Stay tuned for more. Candy in disguise. Fresh protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 45 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohol. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bar you've ever tried before. They're so good that Fresh Nutrition is giving away two free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Fresh Protein Bar banner and try them today. Too much for you, I'll be keep up with it. describe a very talented cricket producer working with me named Lisa Profumo. But she just texted me during the break saying, and I'm eating a plus protein bar right now. So, I'll tell you something. If you try this protein bar, you will become a zealot and you will challenge when you're out of it like I do right now. Okay, so we're talking with Ron Payne about the plus protein bar. And we really do have to thank you guys for following through. You have been hitting a brick wall. And I think that many people would just throw their hands up and say, you know what? You're trying to do something that no one else could have done. Surely there's other people out there who are proud of themselves that they would have done this had they been able to. But you forged on. When did you get the turning point where you realized, okay, now we've got something?
Well, we were able to, when we figured out that the use of fibers to help make things last for a long time and not have a problem, that was really the breakthrough. We worked a lot of different formulations because you've got to mix the proteins a certain way, you've got to encapsulate them with fats and things like that. So it was such a multifactorial process. About, I'd say, 75% of the way there, we were starting to see, wow, this is starting to taste pretty good, and it's becoming shelf-stable. There's a certain test you can do for microbial activity, et cetera, to see all that. And when the results started coming back positive, that was really what pushed us to go the last step. And even though it still took a long time, at least we had come such a difference from where we started, but that's what gave us the
answer to
push through.
Now, is the bar exactly where you wanted it? Were there any changes that you had to finally make in order to get it market ready? Because as you said, there's a lot of things that come into the bar manufacturing that people don't take into consideration. For instance, moisture. Did you have to compromise it anywhere at any level at all?
Well, okay, one of the reasons why we ended up buying our own equipment and making the bar ourselves is there was one compromise we had to make, and that is our formula was very finicky from a manufacturing standpoint. It's what they call short, meaning it's not very malleable in the sense that when you're manufacturing it, when you put a lot of carbon in it, you can effectively create a goo that goes right to the machinery no problem. And one of the reasons why we ended up investing so many hundreds of thousands of dollars in our equipment is that we said, look, this is a product that while it meets the nutritional guidelines, there we didn't really have any compromises. We almost kind of reverse engineered it. What do we want our label to look like, and then how do we get the bar? So that was how we did it. The only compromise area that we did have to make is that our formula, it takes a lot of tender loving care to actually manufacture it and get it to go through the three talented people to make that happen on the machine.
Is it possible that this is such a dense material that it actually challenges the machinery and the contract manufacturers for thinking to themselves, like a boring machine, that's not even bothered with this.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a boring machine, it's just that the part wouldn't just smoothly run through it and you get crumbles and you end up with a very low yield. And that was something that, it took us, even after we got the formula done, it took us almost 2 months full time just to be able to manufacture it afterwards. And this was on equipment that people had run, tons of bars through. So it really is, it's not like a damaged machinery, it's just that you will end up with crumbles instead of a nice smooth bar, well cut square.
Hey, we can use those crumbles on for other things, too. Stop our hash table.
You mentioned that a lot of customers actually take them and they microwave it. I don't know if you've ever had a crust bar microwave.
No.
One of our customers microwaves it about 15 seconds and then call me back and tell me if it doesn't taste like fresh baked cookies, which I know sounds really crazy, but one thing I can tell you is, we give them out for free, people can try, and just based on that, we have a huge reorder rate, so we don't have to pull any tricks or anything.
Now, was the 15 grams of fiber per bar intended, or was that an organic evolutionary process when you guys found the fiber to actually hold the bar together when you wanted it?
Well, the exact number was, just basically some testing, but we knew we knew we were going to have a higher protein bar. It was obviously going to be higher fat because the carbs are going to be lower. But we wanted to have fiber in it too. We didn't want it just to be a 0 gram thing. So we didn't have an exact number, whereas we sort of did have an exact number on how much protein we wanted to use, the ratio of protein to fat was going to be. However, we sort of did the third variable since we didn't have carbs to work with, and that kind of fell into line just based on the mouth feel, et cetera.
And you used milk isolate and whey isolate exclusively, right?
That's right. Yeah, we don't use any concentrate whatsoever. And, if you buy the raw materials yourself, you quickly see that protein prices are all over the board. You can buy very, very cheap proteins, and pretty much we use the most expensive proteins to buy.
Yeah, do you see that the most expensive one? What you use happens to be the most expensive, and if so, why?
Well, we were pretty dead set on only wanting to use isolates, because anytime you, you steer away from that, you're going to have more lactose in the bar, and you don't want to have any. So if you look at the manufacturer's labels or if you have the product, it's got almost no lactose, effectively zero. And that was pretty much a requirement. Otherwise, our carbs would start creeping up and up, and we would not really be accomplishing what we set out to do. But a lot of great concepts, either bigger girls, you know, fitness girls, or bodybuilders will use it, you know, up some people all the way to show day, depending on what they're doing with carbs. And right now, you really don't have an option. We wanted a bar that was low carb, although in the future, we'll also have some very, very clean carb bars as well.
When you say clean carb, they'll have slightly more carbs.
They will have more carbs, and they'll be only from sources that are, you know, that tend to be a pre-processed diet. We're not going to use any sugar. It, you know, our nutritional philosophy is going to change. It'll probably come from oats and things like that. But it'll be someone that they'll have an option at a lower fat bar, but it'll be higher protein, higher carbs. So then you can do whatever you're doing on your nutritional plan, quest to fit right into it, as opposed to being kind of a spiritual kind of excuse as well.
And so now it sounds like you're going to end up with an MRP bar at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on people's nutritional philosophy. We have a huge number of people that buy our product and it's gluten-free. We also have a whole low-carb community that buys it, and they don't want carbs in their bar, so I don't expect that to change for them. But we do have people that say, look, I really would like a post-training bar.
Right, high protein. You need to take 30 grams of protein to get that 3 grams of protein in order for the anabolic response that Dr. Connelly has promoted over the years. A slightly higher protein bar.
Higher protein and higher carb with lower fat.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. Very, very exciting. Why was it so ambitious and why was it so important for the quest to have no sugar and alcohol? I mean, I'm happy that it doesn't. But what was the real difference behind abandoning sugar and alcohol?
Well, I think there's really two. Number one, sugar and alcohol don't really agree with people gastrointestinally a lot. Some people literally just say, even though they might not be worried about the contents of the bar, they can't handle it. So we didn't really want to go down that path. And then there's the whole issue of how effective sugar alcohols are in the replenishing muscle glycogen, and, you know, are they really as good of a source a regular carb that I get from, let's say, a nut, which is really the only place we get our carbs. So, and it's been overwhelming. I mean, I think people write to us every day saying, you know, where was this bar in the last 4 years? You know, why hasn't somebody done this before? So we knew that there was a big appetite for bars that didn't have any sugar uses or sugar alcohol.
Yeah, and obviously there is some sugar in the bar, correct? But there's no added sugar. There's only sugar that actually naturally occurring in the almonds or the nuts and so on, right?
Yeah, and if you look at that, the way the FDA makes it label, I think it might even be a little bit disingenuous or probably off track. If you look at broccoli, it contains sugar as well. And not just because you have natural monoamine fat, does it really mean something from a body composition standpoint? Probably not. I think you're much better off looking at how much fructose the product contains. That's treated very differently as a sugar. So, you know, people look at the sugars, and if there's two grams of sugars on the bar, but yeah, they're right. They only come from nuts, so not broccoli, that kind of thing.
And it's important that people realize that fructose, the bars have a sweetener of fructose. The fructose has to become long-chain triglyceride before it can become available for energy consumption, so it becomes fat first.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of research now with gout business, and that the reason gout is on the rise is because high fructose corn syrup is so used. And one thing that's interesting, a lot of the customers have heard it and say, hey, how come you don't use agave or something like that? And the reason we don't is our whole line is really thinking about hormonally intelligent nutrition. So we really look at everything we do, whether it's in the gym or whether we're eating, our goal is to control hormones. If we could do that directly, then, you know, we wouldn't be training the way we do or eat the way we do. But if you look at agave, for example, if you replace high fructose corn syrup with agave, you've effectively doubled fructose content. And just because agave is natural, people think, well, it sounds better, but in actuality, it's actually moving backwards.
Well, there's also a growing body of evidence that artificial sweeteners, while they do not have any carbohydrate contribution or caloric content, the actual stimulation of the nervous system to sweet may still elicit an insulin response. And when we talk about the impact of sugars, yes, we're talking about the caloric contribution of sugars, but more importantly, because calories mean nothing without the hormonal and chemical processes in the body that react to them. What we're really talking about is the insulin response that they elicit. So if you are not eating sugar, but
in a sleeper, and the body treats it like sugar, in the acid of the hormone response, and you're supposed to like insulin, you're donating good for yourself. Now, there is a growing body of evidence out there that sleep on the tongue is where it starts.
Yeah, I've actually read a lot about the so-called cephalic insulin response.
Right.
And it's pretty interesting. I mean, opinions are everywhere. But really, if you look at it, a lot of those studies have had trouble being replicated. And my instinct is that even though you might get some small insulin spike, it's infinitely smaller than obviously taking a teaspoon of sugar. And again, you don't have the calories to drive the energy into fat stores or anything like that. But yeah, you're right. Sweet may actually be something that starts that, but I would imagine it's many, many times smaller than if there at all.
There's no doubt about it. But coming back to your bar, I would not say that your bars are sweet. You know, your bars are really tasty, and they are, and I keep using the word wholesome because that's what I think of. I think about human beings when I eat one of your bars. It's the nutty flavor of it. And it's still very satisfying, but I wouldn't classify your bar as sweet. I would classify another bar that I've grown affectionate before eating yours. Was the Yoya bar, which was the wafer bar. I mean, that has no chocolate on it. That's sweet. And that from the city insulin response has not gotten my mind about it.
Yeah, the other thing that we were really careful of, we had a couple of different formulas at the end, but if you notice, the thing we tried to do is, what's the kind of bar that you can eat day in, day out, like getting tired, you kind of look forward to it?
Right.
If you get a bar that tastes great once, but after you eat four or five, especially if you're eating it regularly, they get tired. And you're right, that bar is pleasantly sweet, but it's not. No one would call it overly sweet.
No.
We're really careful not to do that.
No, it's really a very, it's a delicious bar. And I'll tell you the truth, I mean, I'm a big guy, I have a big appetite. Even when I'm not training hard, I probably consume at least 3,000 or more calories a day. And I just can't eat enough of these bars. I don't know if anybody else out there is like this, but I'd like to hear from you. But let's try something eating quite protein bars. It's like, I want to eat one after every meal. I want to punctuate every meal with one of those. But like, these things are so delicious. And if you haven't tried one yet, I don't know what to tell you. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com, click the banner ad, put your address in, and get them. Because they are unbelievable. I promise you that once you try a Quest protein bar, not only will you not buy another protein bar again, but you will look forward to eating these as much as you look forward to eating any other of your favorite foods. Talking to Ron Gay from the Quest Protein Bar Company. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy and disguise. Quest protein bars are 20 grams of protein, 45 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohol. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away two free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner yet to try them today. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein rich diets have been shown to not only be bone healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already lower price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl said, managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from need to build muscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-proficient supplement available without a prescription. Need to Slim. Need to Slim combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need to Slim is so powerful that it can only be taken before a meal. You can get Need to Slim by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat or not muscle. Get Need to Slim today. Never before has an application been so powerful. The powerful formula has been a potent, all-natural, eradicated inhibitor called Pezo, which has been shown in clinical trials to be as effective as a leading prescription neurotoxin inhibitor. Pezo works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of the triazole tests is a 103% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, nutriport.com, and on 5 supplements for stroll. more information, check out getbs.com.
One testosterone is the killing of muscle and strength building agents.
Now there's one androx.
One androx is pharmaceutically one androsterone.
It converts to one testosterone in the body.
For example, 7 times more anabolic than testosterone.
It can't convert to estrogen or DHT, so you never have to worry about bloating or water retention.
One androx will build lean muscle while helping you shed body fat.
You can get one androx by visiting ironmanlabs.com.
The winter is upon us.
Make this season count by adding some new muscle with one androx. Overpowering, but all this weight without altitude, it's good for you. You know, it's one of the things that I can eat on my diet to stay healthy and lean and build muscle and so on and so forth. And I remember the last show I had with Olympia, I grabbed a handful of these cookies, and there was two cookies, and they were examples. There were two cookies in each package. The first cookie tasted good. This is the acid test one. The first cookie tasted good. I ate the cookie, and I'm like, well, it wasn't bad. But by the time I ate the second cookie, I was like, oh, man, I knew it. My mouth tastes like I just ate soap. What the hell is that? And I ended up blowing the second cookie away. It was from the same package. It wasn't like one cookie was bad, and I had a good cookie and a bad one. I had like three more packs. I took them back to my room. And I remember eating, opening the pack up later on in the evening, and eating one. And the first cookie tasted good. The second cookie tasted like it was just all bad. And I realized the problem is that there are certain flavors in these protein bars and these cookies that you can choke down one. But when you have to choke down the second one, it just becomes way too arduous of a task. It's like, oh, this sucks. I can't do this. Now, the Quest bars, I can eat two of them back to back. In fact, I usually like have an almond one and then a peanut one. I'm one day, but one week. I love the almond ones. I love the almond ones. I can't stop eating them. I literally can't handle them. When I finish the fifth one, I don't feel like, oh, that's enough of those. I got to go to real food now. Too much fun effect before I go to them. And then I can eat six.
Yeah, you put yourself on something really interesting, and this was a big discussion internally. My chief financial officer wanted to get out, a sample bottle with a certain size and a smaller package, where it's expensive. Most of the people just cut them up and get out samples. The coolest thing about the bar is that when people eat a whole one, how they feel at the very end is the same as from the first bite. And you're right, and the only thing that I can put my finger on, because I've had to ask this question, why is it? Definitely the bar will contain soy protein. Phenomenon you're talking about is much more likely. And I think that may be what's behind it. I know exactly what you mean. The first bite's okay, then you get a little second, third, fourth, and it gets funnier and funnier to the point where you're like, oh, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
And I think it's the soy protein. I think that's, because I look at the label on the number one, and that's what's there. The other reason we went with the full-size bar is all product is something that, yeah, tastes good, but perhaps more importantly, when people actually read what's in it, I mean, if you look at our ingredient list,
something like stevia, but it sounds like you've got something in there that is really off the beat.
couple of grains on your tongue will be very sweet. I'm talking literally, you know, grains. Whereas when you get a splendid packet, 99% of that is malted extract. And the reason for that is if you open a packet and you put some sucralose, pure sucralose, and there's nothing to come out. It's almost microscopic, and people say, what's in it? You have to give it with a filler. So we don't use that filler. We only use the actual sucralose. But we want to go Stevia. The only problem is Stevia himself is bare taste, and all of our taste testing, we couldn't quite do it. I think in the next year or two, they're really working hard on eliminating that, and they'll probably come up with a totally natural Stevia product that we'll be able to use. And that was one of the things.
Savory bar, it's salty.
Thank you.
sex in as little as 6 weeks. Since Chernobyl does not aromatize, there is no conversion to estrogen. Chernobyl takes advantage of a patented liquid bay technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Chernobyl report increased strength and lean gains with no side effects. Get Chernobyl today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Chernobyl to be added to the federal ban list. Chernobyl, finally, a bone body supplement right from the source using the original study. Biosure 347 is here. Bone body dialysis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, ruthless supplements have done the impossible. Each capsule of Biosure 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolynthus TM bone body dialysis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get these anywhere else but at ruthless supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, the protein bar that Fizzy Dust can't eat destroys. Five protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bar on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any of the protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars for all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to SupremeRadio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar button and try them today.
Protein powder. And it ended up being about 8
bags and 20 bags of protein per milking. And now these bags, they're rubbery. But, you know, they use the same mentality in the bag as I've done in the healthy bar before class. And that is, well, you know what, it doesn't taste that good for me. It's low carb and it's high protein. Are you ready to make your products in the future, you think?
Well, I have to share that I've made some of those same exact rubbery pancakes and choked them down. And then sometimes you get one that's pretty good. We've thought about that market, but the one thing that's pretty clear right now is that convenience is big, so it probably won't be in 2011. But people write to us all the time, and we encourage people to do that, because we really do sort of build the product backwards. Rather than sort of coming up with a cool idea and then trying to sell to people, people literally have asked us, could you go in this direction, could you go in that direction? And we've taken our cues both in terms of flavors as well as future product development from our customers. So I wouldn't rule that out of the question, because I think that there's some things you can do that can taste really good, especially if you can use one or two ingredients that people would normally have at home to make their pancake or brownies or something like that. So that is definitely something we're looking at. That's not nearly as far along as the other two products.
I got one for you to work on. What's
that?
The
that would be a very interesting product. One of the guys on our team is Italian, and he was basically shopping in New York at the Best Mall Card. If we could even approach it,
it's not for ours in Manhattan, right?
It is not. It is Rocco's in Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
That's his family's big.
What's called the Rocco's? The funny thing is, this business, I made 20 or 30 cannolis. There's a new liqueur out there called Demonte, which is a pistachio liqueur.
Okay.
And I made cannolis using pistachio liqueur out of this world. And when I was eating them, I was saying to my girlfriend, I was saying, you know, what about the cheese? You know, it's healthy protein and fat. Now, other than the shells of the Demonte, and recipes for that way of cannoli, if you call for like 4 cups of sugar, I use a cup of sugar in the whole thing. I got it in 5 pounds of a book. And I use some, you know, fruit zests and pistachio nuts and blah, blah, blah. And of course, there's so many sweet chocolate chips, which have very little. I mean, when you think about it, we've got the cheese, it's all protein and fat, there's nothing wrong with that. You can make
And there's a lot of substitutions and things like that you can do. You know, you can eat something that is just as satisfying, but doesn't have nearly the same amount of profit as something else.
Right.
It's just a little bit thinking, which is a great point. A lot of
understand this whole damn thing. You know, really how to represent it. You know, that's, isn't it funny? Women are like that, you know? I mean, I've never been a protein bar, but that's what it is.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They have the patience. They've got the security to make it so that you find it so pretty good.
And well, you know, it is. I think that they're not willing to settle. Guys are like, oh, okay, I'm going to, you know, maybe because I know this protein bar probably sucks. It's probably not what it says. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get anywhere from the heart. And that's the way it is. But women, maybe it's because women have a hard time reaching their pinnacle of fitness, and we get away with it with the high testosterone levels. And so we can fight a little bit, and they're like, no, I can't fudge, but I'm not going to put that in my body, and I'm going to say, well, I'm going to make a protein bar on my own.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. And the other thing for us, her father's actually a bodybuilder. Her father's Chad Gordon, who is ever to beat Arnold Schwarzenegger on the page.
Of course.
Well, she grew up eating low carb, you know, high protein. So she doesn't really make those nutritional compromises, and you're right, that's really what kind of drove her to say, look, you know, I'm going to do that to the bar.
That is very cool. Cool story. Tell me, thank you. Well, awesome. First of all, thank you for being a sponsor on the show, number one. And number two, I really do mean this. I want to thank you guys for putting the effort forward, not giving up, and making this bar work for us, because this is an amazing thing. I don't want to say creatine and crushed protein bars are the two big things, etc. Send anything you want to me. I need everything to help one as well. Okay, stay tuned, and we'll come back with our tattoo to carry on, and we'll talk about some really serious subjects. And this is just simply a little bit of that.
Stalking AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find
conservatives here, don't buy that Lexus has been shown to dramatically increase the starting level of clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Rupert Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytosterms 327 has the exact amount of pure Prolexis TM built by that Lexus required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but Rupert Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Get sloppy. You know why? Because
as sloppy as possible. If you cut corners, you're producing more for the same dollars, your profits are higher. Now, you go back to the small family farm. He's got 3 dozen chickens. That's all he's going to produce is the eggs and those chickens. He's not going to go out and start handling the chickens up the road and getting sloppy. He's just focusing on his farm. It's called compartmentalization. It's why cellular telephone works in IMCS Denton. They're trying to cover a whole city with 15 channels. Now they cover 6 city blocks with 15 channels. It's all about decentralized. But the problem is, this bill speaks nothing about that. If anything, it creates the illusion that centralized food manufacturing can get it right, and they can't.
Okay, and the problem is, the fundamental problem also, the other piece of it that you started off really with, is whether FDA is going to start doing its job or not. You know, the bill tells it to. You know, the bill tells it to start going and inspecting, start paying attention to what's coming in the imports. I mean, the bill, part of the bill is an adventure with FDA to put it back together. But there's only so much you can do, because FDA inspector could go inspect the place. But if upper management does, you know, the upper, the senior bureaucracy doesn't want to hear bad results from the, about their buddy, how could the inspection be?
Because the government operates on a mantra, and the mantra is, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. That is the mantra the government asks for. That's why they have the right bill to tell somebody to do their job. It's asinine. You and I would get fired. If I decided to not produce shows, my advertisers would call me, hey, you're not producing shows. And I go, oh, well, you need to put that in writing, so you want to. Well, no, we put advertising, we assume that you're going to do shows.
Well, that's a comparison. I mean, you would think, I mean, in a promotion of America, they had a Texas plant, too. We should never have been inspected. In fact, the Texas plant that offers the city, even though it existed.
You know,
I mean, just go, is this a
Texas? Well, I know that I fired him, because I'm keeping my cranium from splitting in half and my brain jumping out. I don't understand it. We pay tax dollars. We have a right to make demands of these government agencies, and it's not these stupid bills that do nothing. Number one, I want to be able to fire, you know, I pay taxes. I'm not going to fire somebody at the FDA. Me, I want to fire somebody. I want to call somebody on their behalf and fire them. I should have the right to do that because I pay them.
And, you know, the thing is, you're looking at paying them a lot more in the coming year or 2 years.
Yeah.
What I think the bill did is, you know, call for more inspectors, a much bigger budget for FDA. And you know what? You know, you can thank your folks, but I have to tell you, when you think about the fact that they only inspect 1% of the imported food in this country, I'd like to see more inspectors than just the imports. So the question is, how are they going to spend that money, and where are they going to spend their inspectors? Are they going to send the new inspectors over to the imports, or are they going to send them, you know, small scale producers to harass them and large-scale producers to harass them?
That's what he said. The little Mennonite farmer, the little Amish farmer who's producing worldwide pasteurized milk and eggs and grass-fed beef for a few dozen families. They're going to go over here and go, hey, this is in Chinatown over here. But no, they won't go into the big producers. They don't even visit them. They won't go through them at all. But you know what? I think there was a break. I said something very stupid a moment ago. And I'm going to stop myself during the break. I said that I won't fire somebody at the FDA because I pay taxes. The FDA is paid by the pharmaceutical giants and the food manufacturers. Shame on me for thinking that they're an agency that somehow belongs to our government because they're supposed to be protecting the people here. But they don't. I forgot. The Fox pays those people who guard their house. Stay tuned for that. £15 of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turnabout does not aromatize, there is no conversion to estrogen. Turnabout takes advantage of a patented liquid technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Chernobyl report increased strength and lean gains with real side effects. Get Chernobyl today while supplies last at PrimorialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Chernobyl to be added to the federal ban list.
After a long wait and a lot of wasted space, we're going to get the same thing done with this one slip power box. The new Flyer Quantum Series power box has been turned on to be the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Especially if you're $149 a pair of power box you can use as stretch props. All the way up to $130 per pound. Imagine a whole bag of dumbbells in as easy as just one pair. With power box, you're about to take that down to this hour is just to hear me from the phone and Freedom Alliance. We're talking about HR 2751 during this portion of the interview, which is really funny. I know, right on the break, I'm just like, oh my God, I feel like going back. I'm sorry, because I don't usually get like stupid, but I'm so frustrated because it doesn't matter what we think, we email, we fax, we call our representatives, we say, hey, don't do this, don't do this, and we'll do it anyway.
I understand about the pressure, and that certainly it's a problem. And there's a huge amount of influence that either does this or corporations fail. But the flip side is, I have seen grassroots movements work. We weren't able to stop the bill completely. I mean, the idea that the folks that did the 2.0 kill the bill, look, you know, the weapons of its benefits in the bill.
Right.
And I think you have to look at that and say, you know, these farmers people are really looking at an issue of, you know, do they want to see headlines about the biscuits and commerce and phones out there, big parts for your safety?
Right.
And that makes sense, you know, it's bad. But at the same time, you know, they unwillingly and unhappily that they put in this aftermath. You know, we fought for that amendment for a year, and I will tell you, it was the grassroots organizing that did it. I know, I've talked to staffers, it was absolutely the calls from the home districts, the calls from the constituents that helped them to agree to the tax return
amendment.
It protects small-scale local producers from some of the new regulations. So what it does is it says, you know, what the way to identify is someone who grosses under $500,000 to sell either directly either to individual consumers or to local restaurants and retailers. So restaurants and retail outlets either in your own home state or with or within 275 miles. If you meet those requirements, if you meet those qualifications, you don't have to comply with some of the new regulations that are going to come down. You don't have to comply with what's called the produce safety standards, where FDA comes in and tells the farmer how to grow their crops.
Yeah.
And you have to comply with what's called the hazard analysis plan, often called traffic light plan, where you have to, I mean, this work just varies, small jam makers, bread makers, cheese makers, in an avalanche of paperwork. I mean, the hazard analysis plan can kill a small business in a heartbeat.
Right.
And you don't have to do that. You know, so it wasn't a perfect solution, and it was negotiated. It was a compromise that was, you know, the grassroots was not what agribusiness wanted. But I'll tell you, agribusiness didn't want any exemptions. They were furious. So, you know, grassroots, the voices, we may not win what we want to win, but we do make an impact.
But you know what? I'll tell you what we really need to do. Everybody needs to write a letter, a call. If you go to opencongress.org, you can find this bill, you can find who voted on it, where they voted, you can find organizations that are pro and against it. If you're, like, Bernie Boxer voted against it, okay? There's 74 people who abstained from voting. And those 74 people voted nay, who had 218 to 215, and the bill would have passed. They sat out. Maybe for legitimate reasons, they didn't feel they had a genuine opinion about it, they didn't know enough about it. Generally, my experience is the idiots rush to vote. And the smart people go, wait a minute, let me try to understand this, and they may abstain because of that. So, you know, I mean, what's your experience with the vote?
Well, to be cynical, just in this specific instance, a lot of the abstentions were from congressmen who were voted out of Florida and voted out of office, and looked like we had come out of D.C.
And they just didn't care anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this was the latest session. They were out of a job. A lot of them just weren't around about, sorry for the cynicism, but it is what we were seeing. But, you know, we've got a new Congress, and it's a, you know, it's a new day. Now, that's not completely true. You know, new Congress is not. There's a lot of holdover, and even some of the new people coming in, you don't know how much they already owe the big company. But it is a fresh start. It gives the opportunity to start organizing again, start working on these issues again. In the coming months, they're going to be dealing with what's called the appropriations bill, which is who gets how much money. And, you know, there'll be the agriculture appropriations bill, how much money FDA will get. And that's another chance. There's a chance to speak up and say, you know what? If you're going to give FDA any more money, you really need to be watchdogging it. You need to make sure they spend that money doing the inspections of these big facilities, doing the inspections of the people who are causing the problems, and not harassing a small-scale producer who isn't causing any problems to begin with.
Right.
You know, so this is the chance. You know, we've got to, we did make an impact on the food safety bill. Now we've got to keep working on it. It's not going to be one victory and we're done, or one loss and we're done. It's going to be a problem to try to capture back control.
But you know what we really need to do aside from all that? If you are not spending money with the small family farms in your area, shame on you. If you're not going to the farmer's market, once a week, I buy 10 dozen eggs from the farmer's market every week now. And I'm just about to get back to my raw milk when I get back to the, you know, my whole Louisville atmosphere because I love my good old friend, baked-in, strong Mennonite farming family to buy raw milk from you. I like the raw milk container, too. I think it's because I'm also to Jersey, so I'm going to Jersey's company. But anyway, you know, if you are not patronizing a local farm, then you have no right to be upset about this at all. Not at all. Not right at all. Because this vote means nothing. You want the truth? The FDA can do whatever they want. We need to spend our dollars with the small family farmers, buy your eggs, buy your cheese, buy your produce, buy your milk, buy your grass-fed beef from the small family farm. And don't complain if you got to drive an hour once a week to do it, okay? Because pretty soon, you won't even have that as an option. And you don't complain, I can't go to the family farm. I would drive an hour if I could. Go now. Now's the time you've got to drive to your small family farm and spend the dollars with it so you can be strong and you can keep supplying it. And then you don't have to worry about all this stuff. Who is the American grass-fed
we got a high score in Capitol 75. It's got bipartisan support. We've got both conservative Republicans and, you know, liberal Democrats on it to allow farmers now to sell raw milk at farmers' markets. You know, you think the world was coming to an end because AI is just about costing.
I would be able to lose 60 gallons of milk a week.
I mean,
GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anabolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LD Scientists want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be getting customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anabolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Bodybuilding.com now and get the free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
There are a few products that I believe in where I believe in can't see eye drops. I've been using can't see for 6 months now and changed it my vision, but that's not amazing. My near vision has improved by a very small print of 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me anymore. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find can't see eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net. 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. Fancy Bodybuilders. Your name says it all. DJ Brown knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, DJ Brown has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is. But we never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and stop building a body that you always dreamed of. Go to pjbraun.com today. That's pjbraun.com. Out of the insulin, key to building muscle and staying lean. Now for me to build muscle.app, the most effective insulin mimicking, insulin sensitizing, and nutrient partition supplement available without a prescription. Need to slim. B2 Slim combines scientifically proven agents that channel glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. B2 Slim is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get B2 Slim by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't miss another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get B2 Slim today. that are struggling to expand the availability of Walmart, which should be done. It should be done. People shouldn't have to drive all the way out to the family farm to pick up their raw milk if they don't want to. They should even have the ability to deliver. But let me tell you something. You know, how long did this summer go back to the moment? I'm not waiting for Walmart. I'm not trying to be too fashion, but I really have to remember this because I like Walmart. The IDFA, the International Dairy Food Association, has an article here. Illness from raw milk continues in a state to push for consumer access. What illness has there been from beef? They simply want to, although outbreaks of illness related to raw milk continue to be an issue, then what outbreaks are there?
Well, you know, there's occasional illnesses from raw milk, the same way that there can be illness from gummies.
Pasteurized milk, too.
Pasteurized milk, eggs, cheese. I mean, I just finished going through the tip of the data. And then, you know, illnesses related to strawberries and mangoes and hot dogs.
But we don't know the time of my food
either. Right. A lot of times, you know, especially what happens with raw milk, is the public health authorities are so
locked
into the pasteurization idea that the minute someone says, I drink raw milk, they assume it has to be from that.
Here's my attitude. The government needs to find out how many suits they bought in the United States, too. That's it. Go out there and find yourself a family farm and stop buying it down. I promise you, if you try raw milk, you won't drink regular milk again. And those of you who are afraid to try it, you won't get sick on it. But you know what? The powers that be don't want you to know about it. That's the bottom line. They don't want you to try it. They don't want it. But you know, that's a great point. You've got to think about that. If you don't go, you will start to milk every week. Oh my God, I'm going to have to buy all this stuff this year.
Exactly. And you know what? If people don't, you know, some people are scared of raw milk, don't want to drink raw milk, that's fine. Honestly, I don't have an interest in trying to convert people into drinking raw milk. What I want is for those of us who do have looked into it and just say, you know what? It tastes better. I think there's nutritional benefits. I feel better when I'm on it. Whatever my reasons are, if I have made the decision for myself that I want it, then I should be able to get it. If there isn't a good reason for the government to get it, then you know, we don't care what you're sponsoring. We don't care what you've looked at. It's not your decision to make.
Yeah, it's not your decision to put that in your mouth. But you can smoke cigarettes, you can eat raw fish, you can eat a raw steak. That's okay with us because we like that too. That's the thing. But what it is, whenever you bring up raw milk, they always put the word zealot. All of these raw milk zealots. That's what we talk about. Oh, you know, they're crazy. They look at the raw milk, they don't hold the school too.
Well, and you know what's amazing is the community of people who drink raw milk are incredibly diverse. I mean, I know these people. I don't drink raw milk. I buy it. I don't sell it. But I know about our community. And yes, there are people who are unschooled. There are people who send their kids to private school. There are people who are conservative. There are people who are liberal. There are people who are low class. There are people who are barely scraping by financially. It's an incredibly diverse, wonderful community, and the only thing they have in common is that they make their own life. They haven't listened to what the PR tells them. They've gone and they've thought about it for themselves and said, you know what? I want this stuff.
What do people in Texas do?
Well, right now, the one option is you drive to the farm. Another option that folks use is we sort of create these buying co-ops or driving clubs where people take turns driving to the farm and things like that. And that's a legal gray area. I mean, I can make a really good argument under the law that that actually is legal. The agency says it's not.
Well, is it picking up your milk for you?
And that's what the agency says. Each person has to pick up their own milk.
But then that's wasteful and gasoline.
That's incredibly wasteful. I mean, when you think that they're farms, you know, 2 or 3 hours away, and you're saying each and every person, they really they need to pull up the numbers of past fatalities and talk about the risk involved in having people driving all those extra miles.
And you see that on those little country roads with us.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, so number one, they can drive out to the small family farm. Number two, they can become part of a buying co-op. And have their milk put on a week to drive maybe for 6 families once every 6 weeks to pick up the milk, and the other 5 families are driving into me. And that's how we started. In Louisville, that's what we did. The farm was really far away. And we had like 8 families. So you drive, you, every 2 months, you drove 1 time to pick up the milk. And then it got to the point where we got so many families involved that the farmer bought a truck to deliver milk. And you brought it down to a local location. That's what all hell broke loose.
The minute sort of stands to where you've got a reasonable distribution system, so that it's not just a handful of
Thank you.
to bring our milk to
a central location like a farmer's market and sell it there, which what could be more harmless than that? What do you want to do to help let the state representatives know that this is what they want?
We've got a website devoted to this issue. It's TexasRealMilk.org. TexasRealMilk.org. We've got a couple of ways. You know, looking for raw milk, but that was all the great areas in Texas. And, you know, we have information actually. So we're going to need people to call their reps and senators. We've got information about the bill and what they need to call. We're going to be having folks coming down to the Capitol in February to talk directly with their reps and senators. You know, this is, you know, it's hard to influence. I encourage folks from other states. First of all, you know, there's a wonderful site, westbaycoast.org, where you can get lots of information about raw milk nationwide. But go ahead and check out our material, too, even if you're not in Texas, because we're trying to figure out how to be effective when you're trying to get the bill passed. How can you build a campaign to educate legislators about raw milk? How can you build a campaign that is effective in expanding farmers and consumers' rights? And, you know, I work with folks all over the country on that. And it's something where, you know, every state that we can win something in, it helps all of us.
You know, I remember when we did our first tax campaign here, and I had a girl on the show named Ronnie something. I can't think of her name now. She's a real political activist. She writes a blog, the Political Junkies blog or something like that. And she told me about numbers.org. That was the group that rallied against the naturalization of immigrants. Automatically naturalizing them because they were born the same way, and they found that tax campaigns work the best because they're laborious, the taxes have to be managed, they have to be cataloged, they have taxes to be saved for 7 years where an email can be trashed, snail mail can be shredded, and phone calls, obviously, they listen to them, nobody really cares about phone calls. I mean, they're never going to get a message, a voicemail. Obviously, you actually get to talk to your representatives, another story, but I see that talk to representatives difficult quite often. Because I have these staffers who will ask you questions and try to assuage you so that they don't have to burden their boss with the call. And the faxes seem to work really, really well. What about getting a fax campaign together on Texas Real Milk?
You know, I think it varies. But actually, it really is a state-specific thing you're talking about, but there is no general rule that they have to pay taxes for 7 years. It's not compared to different email or hard copy letters in terms of record requirements. You know, the key, whether, in my opinion, by my sense, whether it is a fax, an email, a phone call, a letter, one of the keys is personal relationship and making that contact. So if you don't think the best thing is meeting with the representative, that can often be hard. So the next best thing is you call, and they always have specific staff that are assigned to an issue. Not the front desk kids who answer the phone. Great folks, not fast enough, but that's not who you want to be talking with. You want to talk with the staff person who handles, you know, food issues or ag issues or, you know, whatever issue it is you care about. And you talk with them and you put a face to it, you make them know, you let them know that you really care about this. You know, this is an important issue for you. And then when you follow up with your emails or your faxes or your letters, they know who it's coming from, they've got a face or a personality to put to it. It really increases the impact that you can make.
You know, my theory is that I hate some of the cynic, but a lot of these politicians do what they want to do, even though their constituents come out and say, hey, you know, you should do this because they operate in this world of nimbus clubs. In other words, I go to my representative and I say, this is what I want. And my representative acts like I'm the only one coming to him asking for this. And so, on a top line, their attitude is, well, I know that that's what you want, but many, many more of my constituents vote differently. We need to have a record. In other words, every time a phone call, every time somebody does something, you need to go someplace where we can see, wow, 75,000 people asked those representatives in Texas to vote down raw milk, and they didn't. You know, the problem is, a lot of this stuff happens in the back in darkness, and no one really knows. You know what I learned this? Anytime you've got a child in school that has a problem, a school counselor makes it sound like your child is really having this problem in that class. But when you go to Christmas parties, you start talking to your parents, you find out it's the teacher that's the problem, but no one knows because they keep you disenfranchised and disconnected so you don't communicate. We need a way that we not only mobilize
candy that's similar. Because it's again the same thing, but it's similar is we coordinate and we network and we do things like we have public town hall meetings. And, I mean, this is what we did on NYB. We hosted our own town hall meetings. And we invited the legislators to come speak. We were able to control the meeting because we were more motivated in it. And there was no question about how the agenda was set. You know, you didn't get sort of sidetracked or something else. We set the agenda. And we said, here's what we want to talk about, and we want the legislators here to hear from us.
How do you do that? You pick the location, you pick the day and time, and you notify the media, and you invite the representatives?
Yes. And you did a lot of outreach. You know, part of what made it worthwhile for the representatives to show up was knowing that we would get their constituents there. So you had to do outreach to the community. We got public service announcements. We did flyers at local, you know, venues. So, hey, we're holding this meeting. You know, and NYD was that it was a hot topic, and a lot of people showed up to a lot of these meetings just because they were concerned already. You know, we did not do a lot of convincing. You know, another topic that takes networking in your community. It takes building up to that. But that's what we need. We need situations where we can say, here's the agenda. Here's issues we want addressed, and because we're calling the meeting, or we're holding the event, or we're holding, you know, the rally, you know, we get to say that our issue comes first.
How long did it take from inception to the actual meeting to get all the pieces in place and get everyone agreeing?
It depends. That's the first one. It depends on what network, what into what network you already have, and you know what you're trying to do with this deal. 3 months is probably a good fallback number. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them we did in as little as a month, where we really had a good network already in place. But I'll tell you, the other events that I've taken 4 or 5 months to plan. You need a network. You need to coordinate with people and with other organizations, and this is where. You know, the nonprofits, the activist organizations can be so important, helping to pull together things like this and helping activists and people who are concerned about the issues find each other and be involved in a way that they're not out there and they aren't getting told we're the only one doing this.
Right. Well, we're coming to the end of the interview. What do people do? Where should they go? What do you want? They've got all the stuff. Should they just have to take far from the website or?
I'll say for website, I have information that I have on the safety bill, there's the other stuff that, you know, the preparations and rights developed, that's farmandranchfreedom.org. It's farmandranchfreedom.org.
And the listeners who actually live in Texas.
The ones in Texas, go to TexasRealMilk.org.
There you go. And stop by. You know what? Even if you don't want to, I mean, I know that you say, look, if you don't want to drink raw milk, I understand that. But you know what? If you're drinking pasteurized milk, you really need to drink raw milk to try. Because a lot of people that start buying raw milk, it becomes harder to take it out of the public health domain. It really does.
The strength is in numbers and in consumers. That's where the strength is. The farmers, we're busy. The farmers don't have time to fight the political battle, and they don't have the numbers. What we need are the consumers to be fighting for their right to have.
Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for
having me. Good luck. And thanks for bringing the one back out in return. See you tomorrow with another episode of Super Human Radio, and always thank you for listening.